walked swiftly across the black and white diamonds of the hall, taking the stairs two at a time, without touching the banister. Name? Joseph, ma'am. It's narrow here, mind the pictures. Books lined the landing like a second wall. The pictures were of Venice, a place you'd always found hard to credit, but then you saw these dusty old prints in people's houses, so you had to believe. He felt sorry for Italian boys. How'd you go about tiling a doorstep with water coming right up to it? What kind of plumbing can be managed if there's no basement to take the pipes? They arrived at the library disaster. The little dogs, stupid as they looked, skittered right to the edge, but no further. Joseph tried standing as Tobin himself would, legs wide, arms folded, nodding sadly at the sight of this hole as you might before a fallen woman or an open sewer. So many books. What's he need with them all? Mr. Ainsworth is a writer. What, so he writ them all? A surprising amount of them. The boy stepped forward to peer into the crater, as over the lip of a volcano. She joined him. These shelves had held histories three volumes deep. The kings, queens, clothes, foods, castles, plagues and wars of bygone days. But it was the Battle of Culloden that had pushed things over the edge. Anything referring to Bonnie Prince Charlie was now in the downstairs parlour, covered in plaster, or else caught in the embrace of the library's Persian rug, which sagged through the hole in the floor, creating a huge, suspended, pendulous shape like an upturned hot air balloon. Well, now you see, madam, and if you don't mind me saying... He picked up a dusty book and turned it over in his hand with a prosecutorial look on his face. The sheer weight of literature you got here, well, that'll put a terrible strain on the house, Mrs. Touche. Terrible strain. You are exactly right. Was she laughing at him? Perhaps literature was the wrong word. Perhaps he'd pronounced it wrong. He dropped the book, discouraged, knelt down, and took out his yardstick to measure the hole. Just as he was straightening up, a young child ran in, slid on what was left of the parquet, and overturned an Indian fern. She was pursued by a nice-looking, bosomy sort in an apron, who managed to catch the child moments before she fell through the house.
Clara Rose, I told you, you ain't allowed. Sorry about that, Eliza.
This was said to the prickly Scot, who replied,
It's quite all right, Sarah, but perhaps it's time for Clara's nap.
The little Clara person, in response to being held so tight at the waist, cried,
No, Mama, no!
Yet seemed to be addressing the maid. The boy from Tobin's gave up all hope of understanding this peculiar household. He watched the maid grasp the child, too hard by the wrist, as mothers did round his way. Off they went.
A late Ainsworth, explained the housekeeper, writing the fern.
Chapter 3. A New Spirit of the Age.
Downstairs, the morning post lay discarded by an uneaten breakfast. William sat brooding, his chair facing the window. There was a brown paper package in his lap. He started at the sound of the door. Was she not meant to see him in his sadness?
Eliza, my ladies, there you are. Thought you'd abandoned me.
The dogs arrived panting at his feet. He didn't look down or stroke them.
Well, I'm afraid it'll be a week at least, William. The ceiling. Tobin only sent one boy.
Ah. As she reached for his breakfast things, he put a hand out to stop her.
Leave that. Sarah will take that.
Then stood up and seemed to glide away in his slippers, silent as a shade. Something was wrong. Her first instinct was to check the newspaper. She read the front page and scanned the rest. No friend suddenly dead or disturbingly successful. No unusual or uniquely depressing news. More working men were to be allowed to vote. Criminals were no longer to be transported. The claimant had been found not to speak a word of French, although the real Roger Tichborne grew up speaking it. She put everything back on the tray. As she understood it, Sarah's opinion was that breakfast trays were now beneath her dignity. Yet no maid had been hired to replace her, and so it fell to Mrs. Touchet.